One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I said the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been in the right trip, but I must have taken the wrong pill. Hey, guys.
You're reading lyrics right now, aren't you?
I was trying to. You know, you don't have to shit on me. Normally, I know the lyrics. I just have been smoking too much of that red flower. But hey, everybody. Nathan here. We're reviewing the new... Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead film Synchronic, which stars Anthony Mackie. Basically, the whole plot to the movie, or setup, is... goes through all the spoilers now. The plot to the movie is about two paramedics who find this pill that allows them to drift through time. That a ton of people are... ODing or showing up with all these weird injuries, and throughout the movie, one of the characters, played by Anthony Mackie, starts to take it and realizes that the past really sucks if you're not white.
And who's the other character, Nathan?
Isn't it Christian Grey?
It's close enough.
Who you just heard speaking is Frank.
Hello.
And I have with me Robert.
Hi, everybody.
And then I have with me Alex.
What's up, guys?
I didn't see you there.
I'm a regular fixture.
So, guys, I've been a huge fan of these directors for a while, even starting with Resolution. And then moving on to Spring, which, if you haven't seen it, that is like Lovecraft meets Richard Linklater. It's fucking great. And they just recently dropped The Endless, which I almost felt was like a better version of Midsommar. I know you're familiar with their work, and Alex is familiar with their work. Frank, this is the first film of theirs that you've seen, or have you seen any of the previous?
This is the first film of theirs I've seen. But
Cool.
Yeah, I was impressed with them.
Yeah, I vastly enjoy a lot of their movies because they slowly like start off as... character-based stuff, and they stay character-based all throughout, but you feel like the reality of the film is like bending in on each of the other ones, and they've just been consistently putting out great horror genre mashups with Lovecraftian vibes, and now they're sort of tackling sci-fi. All the films are sort of connected in a sense by certain items and characters, but I think this film is maybe their most impressive one to date. I don't know. Robert, how did you feel about this movie?
I really dug it. I have seen all their films. I think there's a clear, you know, you love to see it, a good progression, and their earliest film to now, like you said, like they took a real big swing at sci-fi with this, and I was really, really, really excited with the story. I think Benson is directing with Moorhead, but Moorhead is the cinematographer for their films, and the first third, the first big setup of the film till we get everything rolling. They employ all the great stuff, the low camera angles, the really juicy music. There's some cool synth work in this. The characters, I think, are rolled out in a good way. And like some of their other films, it gets going as soon as it starts. So we don't have a preamble kind of to the movie. We start with a 911 call. So I thought the pacing was good. And overall, I think it was really strong.
Cool, cool. And Frank, for your first time, how did you like the film as a whole?
I'm going to watch it again. And, you know, considering how many films we watched, that's like, that's high praise because we don't have that kind of time. I don't have that kind of time. What am I doing? But, I really enjoyed it. I love the way it just comes like together, like in pieces. Like it is really sort of, it's one little like piece after another, and it's so well layered. But it really, really reminded me of something out of Rod Serling, and I love anything that reminds me of Rod Serling. But it does have that sort of you know, comment on society, modern day, how the past is still really present, but it's also got this really like you know, humanity to it. I love this bromance between these two characters and how much they meant to each other. I thought that was really beautiful. And the whole movie's beautiful. Like the cinematography is so great. This could have gone like, so man, if they had like done this like that, that Stanley Lovecraft thing, what was it? We watched it.
Richard Color Out of Space.
Yeah. If this movie looked like that, I would not have liked it half as much. I think that just the darkness and like just like the soft tones of it just really just made it so wondrous. And it was a beautiful film all the way around.
Yeah. Alex, how did you enjoy this?
So I signed up for this movie because Nathan's been urging me to watch the other three Benson and Moorhead movies for quite a while. So we finally sat down and watched all three of those beforehand. And it was great to see these two guys with a lot of really heady ideas slowly become more refined, while still with each movie examining like interpersonal relationships. And then the first three, at least, would start out in what seems like an everyday normal situation and slowly peel back to show you that it has some warped sense of reality. But this movie, within like the first 10 minutes, it takes a real dive into the heady weirdness, and I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, you said Rod Serling, Frank. I wasn't expecting for this to be more of a Black Mirror episode than the Black Mirror episode that Anthony Mackie's actually in.
No. Well, he's producer on this, isn't he?
Is Anthony Mackie producer on this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
He's boss.
Yeah, he's
boss man.
I gotta say, I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, he's like the Sam Worthington of Marvel actors. Like, he's so boring. I hate watching him in movies. He's so fucking good in this movie. He has, you get a little bit into an addiction problem that he has throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And just in general, the way how he deals with certain characters, he's always captivating to watch on screen. And you're really following him. There's this great trick that they do where they'll just stay on Anthony Mackie for a second, and then they'll edit to another scene where he's completely lined up. And, well, it's not absolutely, like, seamless, like a Roger Deakins shot. Holy shit, was that ever impressive every time they did it.
Yeah, their transitions were really effective, and it really helped the flow of the movie where it could have been really jarring and taken you out of it.
Yeah. It's consistently surprising. Like this movie turns on a dime, but it does so in such a gentle way. And I think it is a testament to the editing here, because the flow of this is so like, man, it's so calm, but it does real turns, like plot wise.
Oh yeah.
And trippy wise, but it does in the most gentle ways. It's amazing.
Yeah, you manage to stay with the characters so well throughout every scene of the movie. So where the high concept of it all doesn't really overtake the fact that it is a character study.
No, it keeps it very grounded, you know.
And the social commentary, I mean, we see another movie that kind of touches on the same themes coming out. But it takes a huge sink into it. And from what I've heard, I haven't seen the film, it doesn't ultimately succeed Antebellum.
It does not succeed.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't mean to bag on another movie with it. I know that Tenet, a lot of people have had like a lot of issues with the story being so high concept, but the characters themselves feeling very generic. And I like that this movie managed to balance its high concept while being character driven. It's just a true testament to these filmmakers. I think they're fucking amazing.
In terms of the story, you know what I thought was very, like, so, well, maybe it's just because it's very 2020 or just because I'm really having, like, a shitty time at work and the world is kind of, is likewise a shitty. But I love that Anthony Mackie's, like, facing, like, two realities and they're both, like, burning, like, they're both imploding in front of him. Like, he's facing cancer and his addiction. Yeah. And problems with, you know, just his overall existence. And all of New Orleans is being taken over by this designer drug that every, you know, other person and their mother is, like, taking and, you know, disappearing and, you know, going crazy. So I love these two realities that this character is facing. And they're both just so insurmountable for him. I think that was so interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I feel like this movie could have easily fallen into the trappings of being sort of procedural, but I think the fact that you're focusing on paramedics really humanizes the movie, because you're not focusing on two cops who are tracing down all these murders. You're focusing on the people who face it on the front line.
Yeah.
And I dated somebody whose father was a paramedic and had pill addiction, and shit happens more often than it doesn't. And it really... Anthony Mackie is in the painkiller, so I don't even know what I was about to say. He's got a painkiller and drinking addiction in this, and I think he plays off every scene so well. I mean, he just has such a nihilistic view on his life right now.
Hmm.
Yeah. I like that it showed how each of them was trying, like, him and Jamie Dornan were trying to be so supportive of one another as friends, but they would never really tell each other when they were going through any shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really enjoy the scenes where you have Mackie by himself, just sort of discovering time travel, and the way how it laid out the rules. I felt like we're such unique rules for this genre in general. You know, usually you have the whole, like, here, let me grab a piece of paper and I'm going to stick a pencil through it. And if you fold in this timeline ceases to exist and bullshit like that. It was all just, it was a more different take on time travel than I was expecting out of this
Yeah,
movie.
But you know when you see a dog in the shot.
This movie doesn't break all the rules. I'll say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, everybody's kind of touched on, we all kind of dug the concept of it. And in some Q&As I caught with them, they talked about the... instigating idea for this was the first dissolve to the swamp. And so that's actually where they started from before there was a story. It was the idea of if it was time travel or how we're going to, what term we're going to use on camera, like what would we have to do that? And then they built the rest of the story out of that. And they also mentioned that in the pre-production for this, they themselves with an iPhone shot all the jump scenes just with the two of them as I'm going to pitch this to you, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it just goes to show that, like, these guys are in it, you know, and you can really tell that they love movies, that they love story, that they love character. That's the one thing I think we've all mentioned too, like, you know, it's easy to have a sci-fi movie and somebody's going to die or somebody's not going to die and the stakes are always high, but there's a lot of the stuff in the middle in this one.
But it's funny how much of that, the success of something like this does hinge on the characters, and it doesn't shortchange either one of the two main leads. You know, I think my favorite scene, one of my favorite scenes, doesn't have any effects at all. It's them walking out after the bar. And they're walking through the street, and that's when they're finally just, like, they've been
talking.
You know, they're best friends and they've worked together, but now they're finally talking for the first, like, really in the lobby for the first time. And I thought it was one of the best scenes in the movie, quite honestly.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, everybody really shows up for this movie. I really didn't feel like there was a sloucher. Even some of the extras. Mm-hmm. There's a character who plays a racist cop who almost ultimately announces himself as a racist cop. But every time he shows up, I felt like he wasn't like over the top with it. They weren't beating you over the head with, you know,
even all the aspects about it. The dude on the stretcher and like the Mardi Gras makeup and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Even he's over the top, but he's so of that world that it just seems so normal. And you know,
yeah,
it's just
I love
like,
New Orleans, and they captured New Orleans really fucking well in this movie.
Yeah, I was telling Nathan that exact scene just captured such a nature of chaos. While two people are fighting in the background, that dude in his crazy makeup is just laughing maniacally.
It reminds me of every scene where they're tapping on the glass and Uncut Gems. You're just like, stop, KG.
I'll just mention one more. That was one scene when you mentioned that the bad guy, the racist cop. In that very first scene when he comes around the corner and we see that, it was so jarring because, like you're saying, his performance, it when he's introduced into the actual shot, it almost feels like it's, what do you call it? Like jump reality scare. Camera.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
all of a sudden. And then when you're, and nothing changes. That one long shot that opens the movie. It morphs through all these different, you know, feelings and stuff. Not just emotionally, but the feel on the screen. And I loved that opening sequence.
Well, don't you love, though, that this is, totally. Like, almost devoid... Like, that's probably the only jump scare that I can remember, anyways. This movie doesn't rely on that kind of fear or, you know, thrills in order to function.
For a movie that is essentially, it's being billed as a sci-fi horror. I think it goes heavier into the sci-fi than the horror on every aspect.
Psychological as well.
Yeah. It's got you feel like psychological trauma as this movie goes through. This is not, Back to the Future. And
for
sure. He makes it very clear.
There is all types of trauma in this one too.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into final thoughts, guys. I'm going to start with you, Robert. How'd you like this movie? What would you give this out of 10?
I'm going to go 4 out of 5 liquor bottles. I think this is definitely a great notch on their ascent to wonderful genre movies. I think Spring's probably one of my favorite films, not only of theirs, but maybe of all time, because the line they ride between genre, something tender, something dramatic, something you've never seen before, a slightly different take that's just, you know, that little bit of sunlight coming through the window where it wasn't before. We get to see indie filmmakers, which now these guys are producing other people's movies, so I'm really excited to see where they go. I will say that the first third, like I said, has really, really tight editing. The camera almost never stops for the first almost 40 minutes of the film until it needs to stop, because this movie is not one note. It's not wham bam. It's not, you know, set up and knock it down. It goes a lot of places. I thought the drama was really well done. I loved the last frames of the movie. I think it was completely earned, you know, what they wanted. I think they're going to get out of their audiences because of the way they wrote, and especially the way the film is edited. So I'm going to go 4 out of 5.
All right. Frank?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny the way you end up following movies for like a long, long time before you see them. I ended up following this movie for about a little over a year, I guess. And I don't even know how I first heard about it. I don't even know.
It probably was Fantastic Fest.
No, it was before that. It was before that.
Oh.
Yeah. But... yeah, it's one of those funny things where just movies just find you in a lot of ways, and I've always loved that, that kind of experience. And I'm glad this one found me, because it is really, it's really fantastic. It's really subtle in its you know, its approach in a lot of ways, but it's also incredibly telling and very beautiful to look at. I think the performances are really great. I think the story is very well written. There's no opportunity that's really wasted here, and that's really rare with a film, especially with a genre film, and especially with some with one that's trying to balance good characters and balance, you know, an arc for each of them, and, you know, the surreal, and tell a Rod Serling-like story, which they do really, really well. Yeah, this is my first time seeing anything from them, and, you know, I don't know anything about what their work before this was like, but I do know that there's always that sort of like, they got more money now. This, you know, it's a bigger budget, bigger mm-hmm. stars. How's it? You know, there's always that worry of like, if whatever a talent filmmaker has before is going to be diluted by all that. But I mean, all I can guess is like, I'm guessing no, because this is a very very great effort that does blend the genres in a really poetic way. So, and this is actually going to be my. I was looking forward to two buddy movies with two male leads, two movies. One was one with Paul Schrader called The Card Counter, which is coming out next year, and this one. And Card Counter has got some stuff to live up to. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 Conchata Ferrells from 2.5 Men, because she died yesterday, and she was a funny lady, a funny actress, and I'm going to miss her.
Yeah.
On that cheery note,
this is gonna post on like the week of the 19th. So I'm glad it'll be relevant.
Well, hey, yeah.
Alex,
I was really impressed by this movie. I've been consistently impressed by Benson and Moorhead and their ability to be pragmatic on a budget, and they've been able to deliver really refined, intricate films that really explore their characters without trying to manipulate your emotions in a way that's unnatural. Everything they make just sort of flows and really draws you into their strange world. And I love it. In homage to a movie that surprisingly had a through line with what showed up in Synchronic, last night Nathan and I watched From Beyond. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 enlarged pineal glands.
Take a drink. Yeah, I've been consistently impressed by all of their work. I mean, these are two of the most interesting filmmakers working today, and you were so right, Frank. Like, the risk of them getting a bigger star, bigger budget, from what it seems like with this movie, I would definitely say bigger budget, because the effects are pretty, like, they're not, like, mind-blowing, but they work and are effective throughout this movie, and they never detract from the experience. This is just a really great time travel story. This is a great showcase of Anthony Mackie's skills as an actor and Jamie Dornan's. This is just a well-written, great film that I think will probably make it to probably my top 10, maybe even top 15 of the year. This is fucking stellar. I would give this 9 out of 10 red flowers. I really dug on this. I'm going to dedicate the back half of this review to sort of talk about how awesome it is that despite the pandemic, despite this movie having to release in theaters, the directors, Benson and Moorhead, have basically told everybody, see this if you can see this safely. And I think we should just stress this. If you can see this movie safely, please go see it, because it's fucking wonderful. If you can go to a drive-in that's showing it, that would be great. Don't go to a theater to go see this, not because it's not a good movie, but because we want you to stay safe.
It's a bad theater.
Talk about this movie in person at some point, sometime throughout here, since whoever's watching this, whoever's listening to it, they're friends, even if, you know, we've never met them. Beyond that, yeah, this movie's fucking great. Everybody go see it.